Let us just look to the Lord for a moment. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Oh God, I give you praise today, God, and I ask, Lord, that as I stand here, God, to share the word that you have shared with me out of your sacred book, oh God, that you would fill me with your anointing. Oh God, hide me behind the cross. Oh God, I'm an empty vessel before a full fountain. Oh God, I might be weary, but you're not weary, God, and I'm depending on you, God. Lord, I know you answer prayer because I prayed before and you've answered before, God. And so this morning, God, as I stand here a little bit weary this morning, God, I ask that you would strengthen me, oh God, on every side. Oh God, help me to do what you've called me to do and do it with power, oh God, and conviction that your people might hear from you on today. Oh God, I bless your name and I give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Our scripture has been read this morning. It comes from the prophetic book of Jeremiah. And this particular verse of scripture, which is, it's a scripture that we have heard before. We've heard about the potter's house. We've heard about the potter's wheel. And this particular scripture is one, another one that God is speaking to Jeremiah, asking him to go to his people and to remind them of who he is and to tell them to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their ways of sin, their ways of worshiping idols, and turn back to the true and living God. These scriptures is just an illustration that God gives to this young prophet, Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, the one who God called to be his mouthpiece to the house of Israel. God's people are in a state of rebellion and sin, and like all the other prophets, Jeremiah was called to preach the gospel to them, to preach the gospel of that time, and that is repentance. That is to turn back to God. That is to stop rebelling, stop worshiping idol gods. Jeremiah was a young man, and he was reluctant to go before the people. Moreover, he didn't want to be a prophet. Jeremiah wanted to be a priest. Jeremiah's father was a priest, and he wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. But God quickly reminded him in the scripture found in the first chapter, "Before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." God began to use Jeremiah to warn his people to stop living the ways that they had been living, to let go of the wicked lifestyle that they were living, and that he told them to him to go tell the priest to stop pretending to be worshiping God and go back to teaching God's word, to go back to praising and worshiping God. But the lure of the pagans and their gods were overtaking them. They were given to the pretense of living a godly life and worshiping God on the outside. But the priests were listening to false prophets who told them lies and drew them to the worship of idol gods. God kept sending Jeremiah, and the more he sent them him, the more they abused him. The more he went and gave them the word of the Lord, the more they rebuked him. They beat him. They put him in a stockade in the square. They put him in the sewage system. All that they could do to stop him from speaking truth, from speaking God's word. I'm not going to be before you long as these six simple verses that we find in this chapter of Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. Here in the first of the six chapters, we hear God saying to Jeremiah, only this time he's starting with we're going to start with the first three verses, that it says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working on the wheel. Once again, Jeremiah hears the Lord speaking. This time the Lord sent him to the potter's house. I think it's obvious that a potter's house is where a potter makes pottery. Potters are artists in their day, and they are today. It requires ability and practice to be able to make a beautiful vessel out of clay. It is not something you can just decide, one day I'm going to do this. It requires training and it requires skill. What I found so very interesting in my study about pottery making is that it's the number one most popular find of archaeologists who study the ancient world. Even now, when we when they go on a dig and they find remains of pottery made centuries ago that tells the story of that time period. You may say, what's so interesting about that? It tells us that when a potter molds a piece of clay into a vessel he desires it to be, it can withstand the test of time. Let's step back. Let's step back for a moment here. We have read that the Lord has sent Jeremiah to the potter's house for an express purpose. He has sent him there to see what the potter does to create a vessel out of a lump of clay. Moreover, he has sent him there to see how he can remold a lump of clay into a new vessel. The potter in these scripture vessels and others represent God, and the clay represents the house of Israel. Just like the word of God is the potter, and we are the clay in his hands. In this second verse, Jeremiah is told, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. The Lord is going to show Jeremiah something that he will have an understanding, so that he would have an understanding of the power of God and what God's power can do in the lives of his people. Now in this third verse, this is where we see Jeremiah say, so I went to the potter's house, and I saw him working on the wheel. Here, Jeremiah has arrived at the potter's house, and what he sees is the potter working on a wheel. Now, the potter's wheel was a device that was made out of wood. It had a pedal and two wheels, one on the bottom and one on the top. The potter would sit down in front of the big wheel. In front of him, there would be a turntable. The clay sat there on the table that is to be molded. When Jeremiah arrived, the potter was already working at the wheel. That means a lump of clay had already been selected and thrown on the potter's wheel. Stay with me now, because we're going somewhere. Here Jeremiah is told, go to the potter's house. And when he arrived, the potter is at the potter's wheel working on a piece of clay. As Jeremiah watched the potter, he noticed something in that fourth verse. And it says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. There is a process the potter goes through when he decides to make a piece of pottery. The first thing the potter does is pick a piece of clay. The potter doesn't just pick any piece of clay, but he picked one that has been prepared, a piece of clay that has been dug from the deep recesses of the ground. It is brought back to the potter's house and treated to remove all of its impurities. It has been put through a special process that removes anything that could cause the vessel to be flawed. After the clay has been treated with water and is pushed from side to side to soften it, it is left to sit for an extended period of time. You see, sometimes when we need to be reshaped by God, God has to push us from side to side. Sometimes he got to dip us down in the living water that we might know that he is God. Sometimes God has to do what only God can do. We have to sit to the side until God is ready to shape us into what that he would have us to be. Sometimes we lose patience with God and say, where are you, God? What are you doing? But I stand here today to tell you, just wait on the Lord. He's coming through. You just hold on. God is not through with us yet. Then the potter goes and picks up a piece of the conditioned clay that has been prepared and throws it onto the potter's wheel. There the potter sits and begins to mold and shape the clay. The potter used his hand and a steady watering process that keeps the clay soft and supple. As the potter begins to pedal, the wheel begins to turn and around. The entire time, the clay never leaves the potter's hand. This clay that represents the house of Israel in the Old Testament represents us today in the New Testament. The Lord God that spoke to the Israelites in the Old Testament is speaking to us on today. Amen. What Jeremiah sees is a vessel being shaped from clay, marred in the hands of the potter. So the potter has to form another pot. When we have when we have times, when we have situations in our lives that may have caused us to be blemished or scarred, and the world will take us and toss us aside, but that's not what the potter does. The potter takes the clay and he pushes it and he shapes it and he turns it that it might become another pot. You see, life can put us through some things that blemish us. Life can take us through some turns, and we don't know which way to go. We want to give up. People have given up on us, but God has not given up on us. Yes, all of us have had some blemishes, and we have had some scars. You see, sin will blemish you. Sin will take you to some places you don't want to go. And we've all been to some places we shouldn't have been. We have all done some things we shouldn't have done. But it's not over yet, because we're still in the hands of the potter. You see, when we see things that look like they might not be any good, we want to throw them in the garbage and go out and buy something new. But God doesn't throw us in the garbage and look for something new. God has called each of us to a purpose, and he is going to see that we come through. He's not going to throw us up away because we've messed up. He's not going to throw us away because we've been blemished by life. Some of us have been through some torrential things in our lives. We have been victims of violence. We have been victims of rape. We have been victims of incest. We have been drug addicts. We have been alcoholics. We have been promiscuous in our lives. We have done everything but praise God at one point in our lives. Some may say, no, I haven't, no, I haven't, but yes, you have. Yes, you have. Because even when you thought you were worshiping God, you were not doing it in spirit and in truth. Because God says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here in this fifth and sixth verse, the word says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like the clay in the hands of the potter, so are we in the hands, O house of Israel. Just like God told Jeremiah, I can do with you as this potter does. You see, you're just a lump of clay in my hands. I can do whatever I want to do with you. Just like God was telling Jeremiah to tell Israel, God's word is telling us on today, we are but a lump of clay in his hands. God is using this illustration of the potter, his wheel, and a lump of clay that is marred but can be remodeled and reshaped into a beautiful vessel of use. You see, the first point we want to get today is that God is in control. Here the potter sits before his wheel, molding and shaping the clay that it might be a useful vessel, but it has flaws. Like that lump of clay, we too are in the potter's hand, and we are being molded and shaped into a useful vessel. He has called us, and he intends to do with us as he will. Yes, we have some mars and some bumps and some bruises on us, but God is going to mold us and shape us and make us into what he would have us to be. You see, God has a plan for us. He has a vision for our life. He has a purpose for us. God is in control. If you are blemished, if you are bruised by life, he doesn't throw you away. God doesn't throw us in the garbage and go pick up something else. God is going to take you and make it what he would have you to be. God works with patience. You see, some of us, we don't have any patience. If it don't come out right the first time, we want to throw it away. But God knows how to take something and make nothing and make something out of it. Long before there was recycling, God was a recycler. You see, he picked people up. He picked David up after David had sinned, and he still say, you're a man after my own heart. You see, Moses had killed the man, but God says, I'm still going to use you. You see, Abraham, he lied. He lied more once. He lied twice. But God says, I'm not finished with you yet. God will take you. He'll shape you, and he'll mold you into what he would have you to be. We must understand when the potter is sitting at his wheel and he's making a vessel, just sometimes that vessel may have mars and scars. And why? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they brought sin upon all humanity. When sin entered the world, the clay became flawed and blemishes, and it became corrupt. The word tells us in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God is the potter and we are the clay. God is in control of our destiny. So often we think what's best for us, but God knows what is best for us. In God's hand, what seems worthless and useless, God can take and make something valuable out of it. We are in the master's hand. Just like the lump of clay Jeremiah saw in the potter's house that was marred, we too have to go through a process. We are messed up because we fail to yield to God's hand. Some of us have our own agendas, but God has his. Until we come to understand and accept what God has for us and what is best for us, we are going to be marred and scarred. We resist God. We become hard and unusable. But see, God has the answer to all of that. God is not concerned about where we've been and what we've done. God is concerned about now. He knows you have a yesterday, but you are here today. When we messed up and failed to be in God's will, we have to take David's position in Psalm 51. It's in that 10th verse where he says, create within me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. We have to go to God and say, God, I surrender all. I give it to you, God. I can't do no more with this, God. I've messed up. I've done things I shouldn't have done, God. I thought some thoughts I shouldn't have thought, oh God. I've been some places I shouldn't have been. I've been with people that I know are no good for me, God. But Lord, I'm depending on you. Shake me, mold me, make me anew today on God. David knew that God was able to recreate his life. And that's why he asked God to create within me a new spirit. The second point we want to receive on this morning is that God will make us anew. Here, the God is saying to Israel, turn from your sinful and wicked ways, and I will make you anew. I will remove the punishment from you if you would but stop worshiping idol gods. But if you continue to harden your heart, you will be punished. So many times we continue in our own way thinking God is going to bless it. We do what we want to do whenever we want to do it, wherever we want to do, and think God is not looking at us. Then when trouble comes, we pray and ask God, help me out of this situation. We don't repent. We don't see any reason to change because we know what we're doing is not of God. We don't really want to hear God until we need something. Just like the marred clay on the potter's wheel, God can and he will reshape you into a beautiful vessel. But we are still worthless and without use until he puts you through the fire. When the potter has finished molding the vessel and he gets it in the shape that he wants it to be in, then there's a kiln fire that he puts the pottery in. And this pottery has to go into this fire that has to be lifted to at least 500 degrees. When he puts the pottery in this temperature, the pottery is then caused to, the chemicals that's in it that would cause it to one day break is taken away from it. It means that there is a spiritual change coming over it. And we being like the potter, when God puts us into the fire and we learn how to pray to God, when we learn how to meditate, when we learn how to fast, when we learn how to seek God's face, there's a spiritual covering that comes over us. God does something new in our lives. As Christians, we have to understand that we must have faith in God. God will put us in the fire to prepare us to bring the best out of us. So many times we try to give up in the fire when it comes into our life. But God will not take you out of the fire until you're ready. We are his vessels and we must stay in the fire to ensure that the air bubbles that can appear in a vessel is removed. You see, vessels have air bubbles that will explode in fire of life. You see, the vessels have air bubbles that gets trapped in between the molecules. And when it gets trapped, it causes the vessels to just lose its mind. You know, sometimes when the fire of life comes, we just want to lose our mind. We're not steeped in the faith that we need to be. So we can't seek God for change. But God is saying, not so. I'm going to teach you how to seek me. I'm going to keep you into the fire until you get it. You see, air bubbles are unrepented sin. Air bubbles are the lack of faith in God. Air bubbles are no prayer life. Air bubbles is not knowing the promises of God when trouble comes. Now, this third point we want to understand this morning is that God will remove whatever it is that you don't need. A lot of us have problems with that because we want to keep some things around that's not of God. And God is saying, not so this morning. If you're coming to me, and if there's something in you that shouldn't be there, I'm going to remove it. We don't want to hear that because we want to just keep on doing what we've been doing and ask God to bless our mess. But God says, not so, not today. After the vessel had been removed from the fire and has been purified, the potter then scrubs and scrapes the vessel to remove any sign of air bubbles that have surfaced in the fire. All the rough spots have to be smoothed out. The bumps and the nicks have to be rubbed out until the vessel is smooth, until it's rid of some of the stuff that don't belong in a Christian life. Things we used to do, we can't do those things anymore. Places we used to go, we can't go those places anymore. People we think we need to be with, we can't be with them anymore. We gotta seek God's face and know that God is able to bring us through. We have to be renewed and changed in the potter's hand. We have to be scrubbed so that the things that cause us conflict in our lives can be removed. You know, all of us have some nicks and some bruises. But God wants to make us into a beautiful vessel on today because God has a purpose for us. Lord, I ask you to help me right now, God, because I need to get this to somebody in here today that think that it's over, that they've done more than they thought they should have done, and that God is not a forgiving God, but he is. God is a forgiving God. God, thank you, Holy Spirit. God is a forgiving God. I know you think God looks at you and doesn't see any good thing. But God is saying that I'm the potter and you are the clay. Wherever you've been and whatever you've done, I have the power in my hand to reshape you and make you anew. This last and final point I want to bring to us this morning is that God will put his covering on us. In that last and final step, the vessel is painted and it's glazed. If a vessel is not glazed, it can only be used once, because sinful ways will come and attach itself to us. It will hide in the pores of the vessel. But a glazed and painted vessel can be washed with soap and water and used over and over again. You see, the glaze is the Holy Spirit. When we have God's covering, we have the Holy Spirit all over us. Amen. We are sealed. And if any of our old sinful ways tries to attach itself to us again, the Spirit of the Most High God will wash over us. It'll get into every crevice inside of us and wash it out. You can't do the things you used to do with the same conviction. Yeah. You'll feel embarrassed. You'll feel ashamed, and you will repent. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, it will fill you so that you are overflowing. Well, and in that overflow, you are going to touch other people's lives. And you're going to realize that I am a testimony unto the living God. That whatever I do, people see. Amen. Wherever I go, people are watching me. Whatever I say, people hear me. I can't say what I used to say. I can't do what I used to do. I can't go where I used to go. Coming in here every Sunday morning isn't going to change that. The Holy Spirit has to change that. You're just sitting in the pews. That don't mean anything. Yes, you came to worship God, but it's from the inside out that God changes us. The Holy Spirit washes in and comes out. And so whatever we struggle with, God is able. You see, that glaze that seals the pottery is the Holy Spirit that seals us. You see, God will wash us and he will make us clean. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of the blood of the Lamb shed at Calvary. Like a vessel that has been used and picked up a few things here and there, the living water of Christ, The blood of the Lamb will cleanse us and clean us up. You might ask, what are you talking about, preacher? God is the potter, and we are the clay. We are in the hands of the potter. Our life belonged to him. You were paid for with a price. Jesus paid it all that we might have life and have it eternally. When others look at you and see a lump of clay, God looks at you and see a beautiful vessel that he is going to fill till it overflows. When we overflow in the spirit of the living God, the spirit that touches our life will touch other lives. It will stop you from saying, it's about me. It's about me. It's about me. No, it's not about you. We will have the love of Christ and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to stand in the fires of adversity. The emptiness of life is gone because Christ has come to fill us up. Earlier, I shared with you that the archaeologists still find vessels from centuries ago. And that's good that they can still hold water. And that's what happens to us. You see, the promise of God through his Son is eternal life. Even if we are buried, God promises in his word that he's coming back. And those who die in Christ shall rise again. If you are broken today, if you have some bumps and some bruises, you have been marred in life, know that God is able. He can take your life and turn it around. He can put your feet on solid ground. These are not just cliches. This is truth. I'm talking truth to you today. I'm talking about what I know, not about what I heard. God is able. You see, the potter will put you back. He'll shape you and mold you into a new vessel. Maybe this message isn't for you, but for someone that you know. Go encourage someone and say, God is not through with you yet. As long as you are alive, God has the ability to reshape you and make you into a new vessel. People might throw you away, but God is not going to throw you away. Yes, we've all made some mistakes. We've all done some things that are not pleasing in his sight. But God is saying today, I will remold you. I will reshape you. I will make you into a new vessel. I'll put you on the potter's wheel. And maybe it seems like when I'm pressing that wheel, you're spinning out of control. But God says, I want you to know that you're still in my hands. And as long as you're in my hands, it doesn't matter how fast life spins, I still got you. You see, the fire might get a little hot sometimes, but I want you to know that God will strengthen you through the trials and the tribulations of life. Then he says, I'm going to scrub you and I'm going to scrape you. I'm going to remove those unwanted bumps, those unwanted bruises. I'm going to take them all away. You see, some of those habits we used to have, some of them bad thoughts we used to think, whatever it is, God has the power to remove it. Then he says, I'm going to cover you in my spirit. No matter what the world says, no matter what the world tell you, you cannot be. I say you can be it, and I'm able to make you into it. You see, in the potter's house, God can put us all back together. In the potter's house, we can have a new beginning. Some of us need a new beginning today. Some of us need a new start. And God is saying, I'm willing, I'm able, I can do it if you trust me. Put yourself in the hands of the Lord and let him do what only God can do. He said, I'll remold you and I'll shape you into the vessel that I would have you to be, because I have a purpose for your life. You're not here by accident. You are not an accident. You are here on purpose. I'm going to close. I know this is not my usual kind of closing, but I'm going to close with a few words from a song that I love that I've heard over the years, and I'm sure you have heard it as well. It's called The Potter's House by Tremaine Hawkins. And it says that you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay that way. You don't, in the shape that you're in, the potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation has turned upside down and all that you have accomplished is on the ground. You don't have to stay in that shape that you're in, because the potter wants to put you back together again. And so I say to you today, the potter wants to put you back together again. I know most of us in here know that already, but sometimes we need to be reminded that what we see in the mirror is not what God sees. We are yet what He would have us to be. We're on our way, but we're not there yet.